Welcome to Cosmos with Cosmos. As always, I'm Mike.
I'm Liz.
I'm Brandon.
And we are sort of here, but not.
We're here. We're here.
We made it.
Between recovering from COVID and jet lag, we're somewhat, are the three of our brains together can possibly equal one brain or half.
We'll find out.
partial lobes.
Today it's like we're going to be talking about Venus, so we'll find out. I mean, it's going to be like doing Grand Tour with a little more in depth.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so. So let's just jump right into
it. Let's jump into it.
Liz, let's start with Brandon. Brandon, what are you drinking, man?
I actually jumped and no one else did, and that's fine. So for my starter, I am drinking from my premium tea collection, Jeju Earl Grey Hot from South Korea.
Nice. I mean, it does sound delightful.
It's exactly what I need right now. Yeah. Unlike my second drink, which is not what I need, but I'm going to have it because Valhalla.
Hey, nice.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Venusian toddy, which is it's a hot toddy, but because of the color and the theme of the show, I'm calling it a Venusian toddy because Venus is hot. And then my second drink is a, technically it's a Gold Rush. All right, but I didn't think of a name for it, so it's a Gold Rush.
I like we have tea-based drinks, and Mike's going to change it up.
Yeah, what do you got?
I have... Oh, I got to get it. I have what I'm calling the Blue Absorber.
Oh.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, and... Oh, good. It does show as blue.
It does.
It's like a nice periwinkle, almost.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at you.
In essence, this is a lavender gimlet. So it has gin, which all gimlets have, but gin, lime juice, and lavender syrup. So.
Wow.
Oh, yes, I do. That's one of my new favorite drinks is a lavender gimlet. I had it last night. And I'm not a gin fan, so there's like three gin drinks now that I like.
Maybe you are a gin fan then. Maybe I'm three not... gin drinks.
And my second drink is just cinnamon whiskey and cranberry juice.
There you go. Classic.
Yeah.
I love it.
This tea is just so delightful. And as we would say in South Korea, Chen.
Chen.
All right.
Jack doesn't have a fancy drink, but that's okay. You don't have to have a fancy drink, Jack. We're just happy that you joined us. And then Katie's going to be trying some ranch water, some sort of hard seltzer that her and Adam have been wanting to try. You'll have to let me know what
is it that... like Valley Ranch drink or what?
Like, yeah, is it like ranch dressing or is it just like...
Is it guzzling down the bottle?
It has to do with the theme of being on a ranch. I've never heard of it before. The ranch theme, not ranch dressing.
Yeah. I don't know. People really like ranch dressing.
I mean, yeah, Brandon doesn't, but I do.
Anyway, you know what? She'll put it on social media for you. Mm-hmm. And speaking of social media, follow us on all the things. Twitter, Drinking Cosmos, and Cosmos on everything else. Follow us and rate us on everything, iTunes, Spotify, whatever.
Yeah, all those things that people use nowadays. I don't know.
And also, don't forget to join us for the Hangover if you are with us now. And if not, well, then I don't know what to tell you.
You can catch it later. You can catch it later.
But don't forget to join us for the Hangover. And as always, check out Wild Ixia on Etsy, where you find all of Katie's great artwork. So it begins.
Look, I'm far away from the microphone.
So Wild Ixia, IXIA, on Etsy. Also check out the Mr. Proctor Show, which is Ron Proctor. And if you are in the Council Bluffs area of Iowa, then check out Jack's Planetarium at Rolling Bluffs Planetarium. And you can find out more information about what they got going on at rollingbluffsplanetarium.com. Also, The Shot, every 2 weeks on a Wednesday.
Yeah, just had a new one come out about eclipses.
Very timely.
So check it out.
We drop a little, what is supposed to be 10 minutes, and sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't.
We usually hit it or under.
Yeah, we do usually hit it. But little shot-sized bits of astronomy. And also, as always, we have rules. If a puppy barks, They're all just lying together on a big
Is Jack on the bed with Lent? Oh, yep. My God, he is.
On the dog bed, they're lying together. Oh, but if they happen to bark, take a drink. Any Star Wars reference or Lord of the Rings reference, take a drink. And today, new rules. If any of us have a coughing fit.
That means a fit of cough. Not just a single cough. Like,
yeah, take a
but
drink.
But like I'm getting a dry one. It's a dry one.
I also have a rule. So next to my building is a new skyscraper being built. And I learned this the last 2 weeks while I was gone, but they put something in there to where if the winds kick up above 20 miles an hour, it sounds like a train whistle. Oh. Like you hear it for blocks, and I'm right next to it. So if the breeze goes above 20 miles an hour, we will hear a train whistle. Take a drink.
When there is no train. I like it.
Ghost That's train. Fine. All right. No, it's not. It's not fun at all.
So let's go ahead and jump right into Venus here.
But don't literally jump into Venus.
No, don't do that.
And you'll find out why. Yeah.
We'll find out why. But Venus is one of those beautiful objects that are in our sky. Third brightest object in the sky. Only the sun and moon are brighter than Venus. And it has been obviously noticed by cultures and people around the world
for
as long as people have written shit down.
I have a quick question.
Yeah, what's up?
Does anybody know why women are from Venus? Is it just because we're
so hot?
You gotta
read the book.
I don't know what principal qualities of Venus
it's just because it's beautiful. I'm sure it's because it's beautiful.
Oh, I thought it was from Jupiter to get more stupider, but I'm not sure what the Venus is.
Well, it's that book.
Yeah, men are from Mars.
But I know, I think just through time, because of its beauty, it's just
and they'll kill you
with women.
Yeah. Although so will Mars.
Yeah, and so speaking of some of that, the Sumerians, it was Inanna, which was the goddess of love, war, and fertility.
Oh, love, war,
and fertility.
I like that.
This is yeah. Don't fuck with women.
I mean, it makes sense, you know. Love can lead to war.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a war, you probably need to replenish a soldier, so you probably need to be in charge of fertility as well. So.
Wow.
So there's that. There's
lots on the pack there.
For the Babylonians, they called it Ishtar, was associated with
like the Ishtar,
also a goddess of love, war, and fertility. Okay. For the Canaanites in the same area, it was Attar, which was the male version.
Oh, okay. So a male Venusian twist.
Also, had a great Lord of the Rings reference in there that no one heard, which is okay.
I didn't hear it. No.
It's like the Ishtari.
Okay, all right.
No, but we didn't list that as a rule. We didn't list that as a rule, did we? We said Star Wars reference, but we didn't.
And Lord of the Rings. It's always Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, always. I don't think he mentioned it this week, though.
But no, it's still a given.
Oh, okay.
It's a given. By the way, just a little side note for nerds out there, like the two guys that are here with us today. They're MeUndies. I haven't had any MeUndies products because I get the Tomboy X, but MeUndies has a Lord of the Rings underwear edition out. Just FYI.
Is that one spamming me on Instagram?
It might be, yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay.
So Venus is seen always really close to the sun. Not like really, really close like Mercury.
In our sky, it looks like
it's always relatively close to the sun.
Not too
and
far
as the sun moves across the sky, Venus goes with it. And sometimes it can be seen in the early morning hours, and sometimes it's in the evening
hours.
Does
it have any nicknames?
Evening star and the morning star.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough.
When you do the starlight, star bright for star I see tonight, that's typically usually either Venus or Jupiter that you're making a wish on. It's usually a planet that you're...
Or an airplane.
But... because it was seen in the morning sky and the evening sky, there were cultures that thought it was two different things.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
So Egyptians saw it as the evening star as Uadi, and it was associated with Osiris and Horus. The morning star, Tiamutiri.
You know, it's fine.
Which was associated with like a phoenix or a heron.
Oh, yeah. Phoenix rising in the morning, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In China, it was Xinjiang, the golden planet of the metal element.
The golden planet
of the metal elements?
Yes.
That's fucking hardcore. I want that album.
The Chinese, their symbolism is just so beautifully poetic and in-depth. It's a little extra sometimes, though.
Yeah. Vietnam also saw it as two different things. Morning Star was called Mai. The Evening Star was called Home. The Maya, for the Maya, it was Chak Ek. The greatest star.
You made it, guys. You're the greatest star. You made it.
Yeah. So, you know, different cultures see different things for it. For the Greeks and the Romans, it was the bringer of light, the dawn bringer, Lucifer.
That's a weird sound, Brandon, that you got.
That wasn't the whistle.
Oh, I didn't even hear it.
It was like ghost
somebody's,
whispering.
Somebody's like sawing metal.
Oh, is that what it is? I don't know.
I think so.
Hose. Okay.
Oh my god.
Wait, I saw Lucifer on the notes.
Yeah, I just talked.
You just said
it.
That. I got distracted.
Yeah, I said for the Greeks and Romans, it was the bringer of light, dawn bringer, Lucifer.
And Lucifer. Well, Lucifer Morningstar.
Lucifer Morningstar. And of course the Christians took it and ran with it.
Well, of course they do because
You know, devil and shit.
You know. Oh, hail Venus.
Hail Venus. I'll drink to that.
All right, so that's how cultures have seen it.
Right.
But
because we didn't have telescopes or, you know, could really be like, oh, what actually is it?
It is a planet.
Nice.
A big ball of rock.
It's a tropical planet.
Very tropical.
Yes. They used to think that.
I have a feeling we'll talk about that. I think we might talk about
that. All right,
so some basic facts about it. It is 67 million miles away from the sun, which is 0.72 astronomical units, which is the average distance the Earth is from the sun, 93 million miles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
67 million miles is 108 million kilometers for everybody else in the world. It has a diameter of 7,521 miles, which is 12,104 kilometers. It's only 400 miles smaller than the Earth's diameter.
Yes. So it's known as
Earth's twin. Yes.
Evil fraternal twin.
Yes, it is about the same size. It's about the same mass.
Mm-hmm.
Its internal structure is very similar.
And it's funny because on Liz's shirt, Venus looks slightly bigger than the Earth.
I guess it does a little bit. There's the Venus.
Yeah.
And there's
You got to contact the publisher about that one.
I mean, it's very similar in size. Look at the little moon there.
I like the moon. Anyway, sorry, Mike.
It's day. Well, the amount of time it takes to go around the sun once, so it's year, is 225 Earth days.
Okay, so a little shorter year, because obviously it's closer to the sun.
The amount of time it takes for it to spin once on its axis for the Earth, 24 hours long. For Venus, 243 Earth days. So, its day is longer than its year.
Yeah, that's a long... God, that's a lot. Some of the Mondays feel like that.
Though. Yeah.
Man.
So, the time between the sun rising and setting, 117 Earth days.
I mean...
That's a long time.
Whew.
But the temperature is only... Roughly 850 to 900 degrees Fahrenheit.
Only.
That's not bad.
You know what that means.
It's doable.
You know what that means, everybody.
What is
I'm
that
waiting
mean?
For?
I'm
so you know excited. What that means.
What does it mean?
That means you could cook a large pizza in 9 seconds.
In 9 seconds.
Bada boom. Yeah.
I was hoping you would do it.
It's called fast food right there.
But
you know why you should never cook a pizza or anything on Venus?
Why is that?
You're gonna cook yourself at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's
okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm jumping in the kiln with the pizza is not usually the outcome.
It has a tilt. Its tilt is only 3 degrees, though. The Earth's tilt is 23 degrees.
Oh, so not very exaggerated seasons then. Or
no seasons.
No seasons.
In fact, that temperature, night, we'll say 900 degrees. That's day or night.
It's just always hot.
It's
one hot bitch.
Night is. Hot enough to melt lead. That's how hot it is.
Yeah.
So, extremely hot.
Yeah. So, not an easy planet for exploration.
No.
At all.
No. And we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
It does go through phases. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on.
From our perspective.
From our perspective, yes, it does go through phases. And from going from a new phase to, you know, quarter, full, third quarter, back to a new phase takes 584 days.
Damn.
Wow.
Venus days or Earth days?
Those are Earth days.
Earth days. Everything's in Earth days.
I know, but that'd be 500 years.
It's just interesting how, I mean, Venus is, what, 93 minus 67? What's that? Quickly, math, do it.
25.
So it's only 25 million miles closer to the sun than we are. Yeah. And in the scheme of things, I mean, that's not really that big of a difference yet. And it's, you know, it's being similar in size and composition. I mean, it's such a drastically different planet from the Earth and had drastically different things affect its evolution throughout the, you know, history of the solar system. That it's very interesting that you have something that could be very Earth-like, but is so diametrically not Earth-like.
Right. And, yeah, so they, I mean, it's the big question is why?
Yeah.
We don't really know why, but I mean, we have some ideas, but we have spacecraft that have been looking into that question, and there's a spacecraft there right now that is meant to be looking into that question.
Is there?
Mars? It's not Mars. Fucking Mars.
Fucking get out of here, Mars!
Venus has a very thick atmosphere. It's mainly carbon dioxide. 96.5% is carbon dioxide.
Okay, see, guys, look, if you got issues with climate change, look at fucking Venus and what a lot of carbon dioxide does to a planet.
No, because it's closer to the sun. That's why it's hot. Come on, Liz. Oh, science.
Yeah. Yeah.
3.5% is nitrogen.
Okay.
So the rest is just...
We got some nitrogen in there. Okay. Enough.
Just a death.
Very little.
Just...
I mean, it's mainly just carbon dioxide.
Suffocating. It's a suffocating
It's mostly just old blood in the atmosphere. Boiling old blood.
The clouds. The beautiful clouds of Venus. Uh-huh. Sulfuric acid.
Yay! I love sulfuric acid rain. You know what? I, my hot toddy, I was going to add a few drops of sulfuric acid just to make it a little...
Spicy?
Realist, add the Venusian element to it, but then I was like, oh, I don't want to die.
That's a good name for your second drink. Sulfuric acid.
Okay. Gold Rush is now sulfuric acid. Alcohol is technically a poison, so.
Yeah, that's true. Too much of it, yes.
I mean,
anything's a poison in large amounts.
That's true.
That atmosphere, though, that blanket of an atmosphere is quite heavy. Its mass is 92 times the Earth's. Atmosphere.
The mass of the atmosphere is 92 times the mass of the Earth's atmosphere. Right. So yeah, it's like an extra weighted blanket.
Yes. But the pressure, what you feel, the weight of that atmosphere is 93 times the Earth's pressure, atmospheric pressure, which is the same as being 5/8 of a mile below the surface or of the ocean.
Of the ocean.
Yeah, oh my God. Or 1 kilometer.
So crushing. So not only do you just get just burnt up to a crisp as if you've been breathed on by Smaug.
Oh my God.
But you get crushed to death as well.
That's like
atmospheric pressure.
That's like the same amount of pressure that dogs give you when you're putting on shoes. It goes to walk time. We gotta go.
Leia's reaction. As soon as I put socks on, Leia's like, oh!
That pressure is greater, actually. the atmosphere, the winds in the upper atmosphere is about 200 miles an hour.
Hello.
Hurricane force winds.
However, at the surface,
they're only a few miles an hour. But there's an interesting fact about that. But before we get there, those winds, they are amazing at transferring heat from one part of the planet to another part of the planet. That is why the night side is the same temperature as the day side, because the winds will take it to the night side.
What causes the winds?
Now, that similar question to Liz that we don't expect Mike to know, but we're asking me all these things. So on Mars they have lots of wind, but the atmosphere is so thin you don't really feel it that much. But on Venus there's so much air
because of all that pressure,
more.
Right? Because it has a thicker atmosphere.
So the winds at the so Winds on Mars, 100 miles an hour, is like getting hit with a feather pillow. Okay, yeah. like getting hit with a feather pillow. On Venus, it's only a few miles an hour at the surface, but just ignoring the heat, ignoring being able to stand up.
Okay.
Sure.
Ignoring everything else that could kill you.
That slow wind hits you with such force, it is extremely difficult to walk. You might not even be able to walk in it against the wind.
One of the things I would love to try one day, which I never would have the opportunity to do, I don't know where, but like get in front of those big like wind turbines or something that they use in like Hollywood or something to simulate and like try to power through.
Oh yeah, you can do that in Oklahoma. Just stand outside.
But I don't want to be in a hurricane. I don't want to be in a I want to be in a safe, controlled environment.
Good. So I remember in Oklahoma, there were some days I literally had to lean into the wind just to get into the office building. Oh, like, man. It was so difficult.
Wow. Ugh. Wow. So, yeah, as Katie says in chat, Venus be wild.
Venus be wild. Venus be thick. Venus be wild.
Venus gone wild.
So,
remember those days?
Is that why Venus is so blurry in the pictures?
In the atmosphere, there's these like dark regions in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They're called blue absorbers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like your drink.
Yeah, we don't know what's causing them, but they absorb a lot of the ultraviolet light. In fact, it's something like half the heat, two-thirds the heat, the heat energy that the planet gets. Is absorbed in these blue absorbers. They don't know what they're made out of.
And it's in the atmosphere.
It's in the atmosphere.
Like, are they like pockets? Like, they're just like they're small like areas?
Little streaks. I mean, you can see them.
Okay.
There are these.
Are they the areas in the pictures that look, do they look darker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's them. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And they're called blue absorbers, and they don't know what the hell they are.
We should call them blueies.
Blue. So they absorb ultraviolet light. Uh-huh. There's some questions as to what they are. Is it like some sort of iron dust kind of thing? Is it life? There's actually
high up in the atmosphere. Yes,
but high up in the atmosphere, we did a podcast talking about the life of Venus on Venus. So you can check that out. But I believe it had to do with this. but you know, as hot as Venus is, about 30 miles up, 50 kilometers, the temperatures drop to about 86 to 150 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh!
That's completely reasonable.
Nice!
Yeah, and the pressure is similar to what we have on Earth's surface. So, could accommodate extremophiles.
Like water bears.
Or Phoenicians.
That's exactly the weather that any Phoenician is, or anybody that lives in, like, you know, near a desert. I
mean, you
like
can make yourself a real
is hot.
Yeah, make yourself a real fine cloud city up there.
Yeah, there you go.
Not the reference.
Not. It is totally.
No, because it's literally city in the cloud, the cloud city.
It's cloud city.
It's not capitalized.
Knowing us, it would be capitalized, although the space law is...
Venus has lightning. That is controversial, though.
It's controversial that it has lightning? Do we not have direct evidence?
We don't have direct evidence. You have indirect evidence that you can infer that there's lightning that caused it,
We haven't observed like these like what charged particles.
We haven't observed the flashes. You haven't observed the flashes.
They come in quick. They come in hot.
There we go.
So you know, there's some debate as to whether or not there's actual real lightning in Venus.
I mean, most of the planets that have thick atmospheres seem to have lightning.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of that friction going on there is going to cause it static.
We've observed it with Jupiter and Saturn. I mean, there's aurora on Jupiter and Saturn as well.
Yeah.
I mean, does Venus, I don't know if you're going to mention that. Oh, okay, I won't say anything. All right, you know where I'm going
about magnetic sphere.
It's magnetic field, yeah.
If you are actually on the surface, ignoring whether you can actually do that.
All death properties.
It would be similar to an overcast day on Earth.
It's not bad. Those are my favorite days.
But you would, like, never see the sun.
No. And the color would be different than the overcast day.
Yeah.
So, later on, we're going to talk about Venus and science fiction and stuff. Uh-huh. And, yes. There's a short story that I read when I was in school about Venus, like elementary school.
Oh.
And it was so sad.
Oh.
And so, but I will get into that later.
Because okay. Maybe I know it.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. So,
I read a sad story.
Very thick
about
atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Up underneath that atmosphere is terrain, you know, land. Well,
it is a rocky world. It's a terrestrial planet. World. It does have a surface, unlike the gas giants that do not have a surface.
The features on that terrain are named for women, real and mythological. There's only three.
Real women?
Not.
Oh, wait, say that again.
Real women.
Uh-huh.
Mythological women.
Mythological women and real women.
Yes, named for real women and mythological three women. Except for three objects that are not.
Oh, okay.
They go by the name of Alpha and Beta, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
And Maxwell Montes, which is the tallest mountain on there, named for Maxwell, the physicist.
Right. So the tallest mountain on the planet. The tallest mountain. Still.
Well, you know what? Along with the patriarchy.
Jesus. God, kid.
Well, it was one of the first things that was discovered. And
naturally, then it's got a, you know, it's the tallest thing. It's got the biggest dick. Let's name it after a dude.
But it does have some pretty large features on it. Ishtar Terra, which is an Australia-sized highland, which is at the North Pole. Aphrodite Terra, which is a South America-sized region, which is at the equator. Ah, so these are very large. The surface is also very young.
Ah, yes.
So, how do we know that? When we look at the surface of Mars, mm-hmm. and we'll get into how we do that, mm-hmm. We don't see many craters at all. Mm-hmm. In like fact, Earth. I think maybe only the Earth has fewer craters than Venus does. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Owing to the fact three-fourths of the Earth is ocean.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we got a lot of weathering that takes care of things as well.
Yes.
But we don't see a lot of craters, which is indicative of a younger surface. Mm-hmm. And the thought is that the surface is only 150 million years old. And
wow, that
is very
young.
And it's that young surface is due to volcanoes and tectonic surfaces. And Venus resurfaces itself every 250 to 300 million years.
Wow.
That's how much.
So it still has, I mean, if being similar in size of the Earth, I mean, I would assume then that it still has a churning molten, it could, its core isn't cooled down all the way because we have a churning molten core. Mm-hmm. Right. Still, it hasn't cooled. So then there is volcanism then that is still occurring to then resurface
that
planet. And tectonic activity, do we know if it has like plates like we do?
Well, tectonic forces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that necessarily means
just like volcanism.
I don't believe it has plates. Plates are a whole another topic, which are fun to talk about.
Okay, because I've never heard of any other planet, a terrestrial planet, having plates like we, like
no,
the Earth
no,
does.
Yeah. And the history and the theories behind tectonic plates are really fascinating too. But that's not a right now topic.
Okay, that could be a hangover topic.
So, 150 million years ago, when it started getting resurfaced.
Yes, hold on. What was going on in the Earth 150 million years ago?
I was about ready to give you that. Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I was. All right, so in the dinosaurs.
I heard the whistle.
Was that the whistle? I heard a slight little.
Yeah, that was a little whistle, not the big whistle,
a
little one.
A little whistle. All right, so take a drink.
They have three types of whistles. Anyway.
Anyway, Venus has mountains and valleys and a shit ton of volcanoes.
Resurface
the highest mountain, Maxwell Montes, is as tall as Everest.
Wow.
Wow.
It's really interesting because, and I know you're going to talk about like spacecrafts that have landed and our imaging, right, of Venus. But it's so hard to get the sense of scale when looking at images of Venus. When we're looking at the radar images of the surface, we'll explain that later. But like it just it you don't get a sense of like the relief and the scale of the surface features.
That's why I love like the one picture we have of the surface so much.
Yeah, yeah.
The surface features obviously are, you know, the valleys and the volcanoes and stuff. Mm-hmm. They have things they call pancakes.
Yes.
Which have flat tops, steep sides, and are formed by highly viscous lava.
There's a smiley face. Lava. There's a smiley face.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, that's right.
That There's is a smiley face pancake. You just Google smiley face on Venus, and I'm sure it'll come up.
And not another reason why these things are pancake shaped is because of the weight of the atmosphere. So it's not like you can have these explosive events. Mm-hmm. You can. A volcano could go boom, but that lava doesn't go far because the weight of the atmosphere
is flattening it into a pancake. How does
I wonder,
mountain as tall as Everest then?
Lots of time building up in a single location with no plate tectonics.
It's like layers.
All right. Yes, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. What were you going to say, Brandon?
I was curious how ejecta operates with the high pressure on Venus, because here on Earth or even Mars, the ejecta could fly out around the other side of the planet. The impact's big enough. But on Venus, I imagine the impact would be slightly different with the ejecta being flung out from the impact.
Well, Newton's laws are still Newton's laws.
Yeah.
So when you shoot something, it is the simplest case is to ignore air resistance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do try to make bullets and shit to where
aerodynamic
to where you can really minimize that. However, though, you do have to take in air resistance. and ejecta from volcanoes is not exactly aerodynamic. And so it has a larger cross-section than, say, a bullet would, and it's going to experience more air resistance, and so it's not going to go as far. So to get an ejecta to go all the way across Venus to the other side of the planet, that is a forceful explosion.
What?
God, I'm not going to make it through this.
That makes me wonder what, like... And I don't want this to happen.
Did I answer your question, Brandon?
Well, I was talking more about ejecta from impacts, but volcanism same principle.
It's the same, yeah. Okay. But I wonder what nuclear weapons are not great. We don't like them, but I mean the mushroom cloud is beautiful in a perspective. But like, I wonder then what the difference of the mushroom, like a nuclear weapon explosion, would look like on Venus.
It'll be like a portobello mushroom.
Okay.
I mean, all right, so the initial blast is going to thin out the atmosphere a bit, but the atmosphere is going to come back in.
Mm-hmm. And then the wind's going to clear a lot of that out too pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
Right, so when you see...
You can do it.
So when you see a nuclear blast...
Mm-hmm. They have... Hopefully you don't.
Yeah, so they have video, and it's usually this house, and it's got the trees that are near it.
Yeah, the lights.
And you see the trees, the trees go this way, to let's stick to the right, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then almost immediately, and the house blows to the right as well, and almost immediately, the trees go back to the left, and the house blows back to the left.
Mm-hmm.
That is the air pushing through and then going, I don't like a vacuum, boom, and it pushes back.
Uh-huh.
And so, whereas, like, the blast is going to thin out the atmosphere, it's going to quickly kind of return. Your cloud is going to be, cloud's going to be flat.
Well, weirdly, this would be a reach, would be a good visualization. So in the movie Pacific Rim, they detonate the nuclear warhead underwater and it clears all the water out. And then the water rushes back in. So it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
All right.
Thanks, Guillermo del Toro.
There are these features called ticks. which are odd volcanoes with veins
okay.
that resemble the little blood suckers.
Less Lyme disease, though, but yes. still more death.
All right, so tesserae? Tesserae?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are grooves and ridges that suggest, quote, scorching temperatures make rock behave in such ways, in some ways more like peanut butter beneath a thin and strong chocolate layer of on Venus.
Oh,
okay. Where is that right. quote from?
NASA.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Making Venus delicious. Peanut butter beneath a strong chocolate layer.
I know, right?
Yeah, when you get the magma, the lava out there, then you can add some strawberry to it.
Hey, ooh.
Yeah.
All right, so you brought up a magnetic field.
Yes.
You're talking about aurora. Venus doesn't have aurora, unfortunately. That'd be cool.
It's just that its atmosphere is too...
Well, it doesn't really have... All right, so it doesn't have an internally generated magnetic field.
Oh, so it doesn't have a churning core. A churning layer outside the core.
Because it spins so slowly.
Yeah.
Oh.
The core doesn't churn like the Earth. And gotcha. So it doesn't. Now, gotcha. It does have a magnetic field, though. That magnetic field, though, is not from its own making. It's from the sun.
This is so close, yeah.
Yeah, so, well,
sort of.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
So, the sun has... All right. Venus in its atmosphere, like the Earth, has a region where the ultraviolet radiation basically strips off a bunch of electrons and you have all these ions. It's called the ionosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Venus has that as well.
Okay.
And so it has this magnetic field. It has this ionosphere with all these little charged particles, mm-hmm. ions, stuff. Streaming past Venus is the ever-present solar wind, which is a bunch of charged particles. These charged particles kind of carry the sun's magnetic field with it a little bit, and the interactions between that solar wind and the ionosphere induces a magnetic field around Venus. It's a very thin not very strong Tennis. Magnetic field, but it is there.
Okay.
And it's not really going to make aurora. It probably would make a few, but you're not going to see it.
Right.
And it's induced magnetic field is shaped also by the solar wind. Mm-hmm. So the solar wind induces it, makes it for Venus, but it also shapes it into a teardrop shape.
Neat.
Okay.
And so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So Venus, because it spins so slowly... doesn't really make its own magnetic field.
Okay.
Even though it might have a...
Now, it spins slowly because it's spinning backwards, right?
Oh, like shit. We didn't talk about that.
It possibly got hit by something, suffered a large impact, you know, in the early days of the solar system, and that fucked its spin up.
Okay, well...
It spins backwards, so that slowed it down, so it can't...
Well, there's... Okay, Mike, go.
Okay.
So, here's the main thought. Let's take a look at the Earth.
Yes. Let's look at it. Everybody look at it. Close your eyes, visualize the planet.
Or just look down.
So, the Earth is slowly slowing down.
Yes.
We have to have this leap second every once in a while.
Yeah, we got a lot of drag from the moon there.
Right, so... The moon pulls the oceans, creates those tides.
What? Tides? How do they work?
We don't know. It's God.
It's
tides go
jokes.
In, tides go out.
It's like magnets.
We
don't know.
That's our second Bill O'Reilly reference today.
Yes.
Brandon had one before the podcast. Anyway, so the Earth's spinning fast mm-hmm. enough to where the Earth can pull those tides in front of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So the moon pulls on the tides and it... makes it kind of act like a brake, and it slows us down a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Friction.
What?
Friction.
Yeah, friction. Let's go to Venus.
Okay.
Venus has a very thick atmosphere. That atmosphere, like the tides, mm-hmm. serves as friction with Venus spinning beneath it.
Uh-huh.
And so they think that the atmosphere played a significant role in slowing it down. Not so much from an impact, but from the atmosphere.
And that...
It's also closer to the sun.
And so that, that atmosphere, though, being thick and formed from the just enormous amount of volcanism right. that it had in the early days of the solar system.
Yeah.
It.
And isn't it not just spinning back, but isn't the entire planet upside down?
It is. We'll get into
yeah.
that.
We'll get into it, people. So stick with us.
Let's talk about observations. Now I gotta be quick. Gotta go fast.
Why? We're on Venus time here. Time doesn't matter on Venus.
That's true.
Unless he just can't talk because he's going to start coughing very soon.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the latter. Anyway, you know, we can see Venus with our own two eyes, but the first time we saw it through a telescope was in 1610.
Galileo Galilei
saw it with a telescope. He noticed it went through phases, and those phases were in such a way that Venus had to go around the sun and not the Earth.
So it was closer to the sun than the Earth, which means that Copernicus was right. Ha ha!
Right, but it got him into a little bit of trouble.
Well, yeah, the church doesn't like to fuck.
Well, he was also an asshole about it, but we have a whole Galileo episode.
I mean, but he should be an asshole about it, but yeah we do. Yeah. Check out our Galileo episode.
You know, 30 years later, roughly, December 4th, 1639, transit of Venus. Jeremiah Horrocks predicted the transit, and it came true. And he and a buddy, William Crabtree, went out and observed it.
The transit of Venus, by the way, just when we observe Venus passing in front of the sun, and so we can see it's a transit.
Could you imagine, like, we're hanging out together, and we have this idea, hey, what if Venus transit the sun? And, like, us and our buddies here, we just go and observe it and just make history because we're sitting on the couch thinking about it.
I know, right?
That'd be really cool.
Oh, man.
Like, it was interesting the days where you can just kind of do that and make history.
I know, right?
They were English, I believe.
Johann Bach?
Myself. 1761, Mikhail Lomonosov.
Russia?
Mexican.
Discovered Venus's atmosphere. So it's the first time that we discovered its atmosphere. Johann Schroeder, who was German in 1790, also observed the atmosphere, as well as Chester Smith Lyman. In physics, you have things called Lyman lines.
Any relation to Josh?
What?
I don't know who Josh Lyman is.
It's a solid reference. Anyway, keep going.
Okay.
Giovanni Cassini calculated Saturn's rotation to be 24 hours. He was wrong.
Cassini.
Only wrong by 500 days or something.
Yeah, well, 243 days, yeah.
You know, I mean... rotation. I mean, who's gonna guess
off
that?
By a factor of 243.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing more of note until the 20th century, basically.
Oh, really? Nothing more on Venus of note?
Right.
Until the 1900s.
Right.
I'm sorry, what was that last date? The 1700s.
Because
end of the 1700s until the 1900s.
Because if you think about it, we only had optical telescopes until the 1900s. So that's all we could see it with.
That's true, and you can't see through the thick atmosphere of Venus. You can't.
But
really...
it's still funny to think 200 years. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
We know most things about it, even in the 1900s, 1950s, as Mike would get into, we still like
Early 1900s, Vesto Slipher.
Love that name.
We've talked about Vesto before, and that's just a cool ass fucking name, like Rip Torn.
Yeah, associated with.
It's the coolest name ever. Is Rip Torn.
The what's the observatory? Lowell Observatory. Associated with the Lowell Observatory.
Good old Lowell.
Yeah, he was there.
Up in Flagstaff.
He was up in.
Check it out.
Anyway, he tried to measure the rotation of Venus using Doppler. And couldn't do it.
Uh-oh.
So he surmised it must have a much slower rotation than previously thought.
Which it does.
Nice.
It does.
Well done,
too slow for Doppler.
Yep. Frank Ross, 1920.
American?
I believe so,
sounds
yes.
American. Just sounds like an American name.
I'm an American.
It's not a fancy name.
It's what's the word I want to use? Give me my jet lag brain a second. It is imaginative.
Yeah, okay.
Ultraviolet images, and it showed a lot more detail than visible and infrared images.
Okay. Well, that sulfuric acid reflects a lot of ultraviolet light.
Yeah. fast forward to the 1950s is when we first discovered that the rotation was retrograde.
Hey, we're like, hey, wait a minute. This shit is going backwards. This is weird.
So,
unconventional, just like women.
So, yeah, well done. Everything should be rotating the same direction.
Yeah,
so
the solar nebula was a rotating one way, so everything that formed within it is rotating in that same way, unless acted upon by an outside force.
Right, so...
Liz just made a new dance.
This is the solar nebula dance.
Alright, see now... Alright, when we discover something that's rotating backwards, the question is, did it form with everything else rotating backwards and violate every law of physics that we know?
Really,
it's just one, a conservation of angular momentum, but whatever.
That's a big one, though.
Or did something happen?
Something happened. It's Occam's razor. Something fucking happened.
Yeah. The simplest explanation is that Venus was hit and tipped it over on its side.
I mean, most things in the solar system have been hit by shit because the early solar system was a very chaotic place with a lot of shit flying around. Yeah.
So I do want to point out, though, that you do not have to have a direct hit. You can have what's called a gravitational collision, which is an object that gets close enough to it where it just the interaction just flips it. Which is a bad day for anybody on. It's a bad day no matter what. You know, it's,
quick little tangent. There is a theory that's been thoroughly debunked, but there's a theory in the early 1900s that a lot of the gas giants actually flung off from the sun. So Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune flung out from the sun because it made a gas. So as it flung out, they would pass like Venus, and the gravity would completely flip it on its side, and that was one of the points behind this theory. Completely wrong.
Yeah, because then that would happen to all the planets, right?
Just the one that passes.
And also the sun is primarily, its outer surface is not as a surface, but is plasma, not gas, so, you know.
Like we said, it's a very wrong theory.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Prior to the 1950s, Venus was thought of as a tropical paradise.
This is my favorite time in Venusian history. It's the 1950s.
When Venus was like a Hawaii on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, they thought it's a little closer to the sun, so...
It's a little hotter.
It's just a little warmer.
Yeah, a little balmy. The thick atmosphere keeps in the humidity, so it's going to be like Hawaii.
Bring your Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, it's about the same size as the Earth, so clearly it probably has oceans.
So...
And the same mass as the Earth as well.
Grab the beach boys.
It was favorited over Mars to harbor life at this point in 1950s. Sure there'd be life out there in Venus.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense.
And when we get into Venus and sci-fi,
hell yeah,
you're going to see a definite turn.
It's a slow turn because it's Venus.
I mean, it really is very, yeah. All right, so... So we're like, hey, we have the technology. Let's send shit there.
Yeah.
And
fuck yeah.
The Soviet Union, now known as Russia, in 1961, sent Venera 1, which is just a venereal disease to me. It was the first
venereal. Obviously, that has its. Okay. All right.
It is the first interplanetary space flight, but we lost contact with it. And we used the Russians. Lost contact with it in route.
I love the mirroring between Venus and Mars as far as space probes go out there, because the USSR really focused on Venus, whereas the United States really focused on Mars, and we had similar successes and failures on both of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, space is hard, as we say.
Yeah. Makes me happy.
We get in the act in 1962, December 14th, with a flyby of Mariner 2. Mm-hmm. It went 21,600 miles, which is 34,800 kilometers above the surface, and it made measurements of the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's all I could see is the atmosphere.
Venera 3, 1966, crashed and landed on Venus and returned no data.
Yeah, because it crashed.
Venera 4,
hold on.
Soviet Union, 1967, deployed science experiments in the atmosphere, before crashing onto the surface. But it found the temperature was hotter than Mariner 2 observed, and the atmosphere density at the surface was far greater than expected.
Oh, shit, boys. Oh, shit.
No more balmy temperatures.
Yeah.
No, not a tropical paradise.
In one of the first examples of sharing data, the Venera 4 and Mariner 5 data were combined.
Sharing data between the Soviet Union and the U.S.
We can all get along,
everybody, see?
And over the next year, they did various science talks and colloquials. Yeah, that was.
Colloquial?
There's a word.
All right, whatever.
We have brains.
Venera 7. Uh-huh. Soviet Union, December 15th, 1970, first soft landing on another planet.
Oh my god.
Hell yeah.
Oh my, okay, everybody out there, because this is a podcast, and I'm too lazy for the video edition if you're watching this on YouTube to put the pictures in. Google Venera 7 Venus images. Holy shit. Like, these are images on Venus's surface.
And then... I don't know what Mike's going to talk about, so I'll let him finish his topic, and then I will jump in if he doesn't mention it.
Okay.
All right. Like I said, it was the first soft landing on another planet.
I'm not there yet. Okay. Don't go Google Venera 7.
It sent data back to the Soviet Union for 53 minutes. 20 minutes of that 53 minutes was on the surface.
It's just the robot screaming in pain.
Yes, and it found the temperature of 887 degrees Fahrenheit, a pressure of 1,320 pounds per square inch.
Now remember,
yes.
Okay, so Venus is very hot. The technologies that we have for these spacecrafts is they're made of metal that can melt in hot temperatures.
Yes.
So basically, the spacecrafts melted.
Yeah, very much.
And they could not... They melted on the
components
surface.
Melt.
It's the opposite of Mars.
Well, I imagine the spacecraft itself probably lasted longer than the silicon chips inside, I'd assume.
Well, yeah. The imaging
technologies. I actually don't know the melting point of silicon, but I assume it's less than...
Okay, so the next one, I got too excited. I got too ahead of myself. The next one is what you want to Google for the images.
Arecibo?
No, Venera 9.
Okay, That is not the next one.
Okay, I missed that bullet point.
So,
Jesus Christ. Sorry. The melting point of silicon is really high.
Okay,
ignore me.
So it's not the silicon melting.
All right, so Arecibo, woo! Late 70s.
This is like Cosmos with Cosmos.
Arecibo, rest in peace, was a large radar radio dish in Puerto Rico.
Oh, the same Arecibo?
Yes.
Oh, God, it hurts.
It was the first used radar to see the surface, saw two highly reflective regions called Alpha and Beta. That's where those names came from. And also saw Maxwell Montes, which had already been named at that point. Venera 9 and 10, 1975. Okay. First black and white images from the surface.
Okay. Google these images because it's... amazing, but like you look at these images and it looks like it could be from Earth, like the rocks and everything.
Yep.
They look like they could still be from Earth. And what's interesting though is that also Google Huygens.
Huygens.
It landed on Titan, the largest moon of Saturn, and it's a dried up riverbed, and you see pebbles that you could find in a dried up riverbed on Earth.
But these pebbles, you're talking about
Huygens,
Titan. Made of ice,
yes.
Which are harder than steel.
Yes, but the images from Venus, I don't know, because it looks so terrestrial, it looks so familiar, but then you look at it and you think, okay, these are images from a different planet, these are images from Venus, and it's mind-blowing.
Right.
And it's amazing, and I wish my in-person eyeballs could see them in person without dying.
I absolutely love these images. You can see the same thing on kind of on Mars, and you see how Earth-like those can be. But one of my favorite things, and... Liz, Mike, and myself, and really any person you see on TV will be able to do this. When they get very excited about describing something, they kind of lean forward a little bit and back. They rock slightly. That's true. And that's exactly what Liz just did.
It's just, yeah.
That's how you know we're excited, is we lean forward, but then we also try to rock our whole bodies.
It's just a weird human thing. So, exciting. For all the aliens that are watching or listening to our podcast, this is just what humans do. I'm sorry if it's weird.
All right, so for aliens, psychology thing they can do later. All right, Pioneer, U.S., Pioneer Venus Project, 1978 to 1992, two probes, Pioneer Multiprobe, Pioneer Venus.
Can I cut in? We haven't had anything land on the surface of Venus since the era.
I will tell you.
All right.
It's complicated.
Okay, Venera 13 and 14, 1982, also Soviet, first color images of the surface. Okay, that was...
Mike hates us so much right now.
Now, before the show, I was like, hey, remember, we're going to be interjecting, and we got things and jokes and whatever. You got to just... We have to have a conversation.
I haven't had a conversation.
No, you can't get annoyed.
I have given you so much time.
We interject on him constantly.
I have given you so much time.
Take a drink every time you feel like you're annoyed by us.
15 and 16. Also, Soviet Union, 1983, 1984. Map 25% of the surface. Ooh. The last of the Venera missions.
Oh, man.
All right. But the Soviet Union was not done. 1985, the Vega missions occurred.
I arrived. I conquered. I'm here. I'm here now.
Vega 1 and Vega 2, the last entry missions for Venus, where they go down to the surface. These actually were the first to deploy flying craft on another planet. They deployed inflatable balloons.
Before Mars?
Before Mars.
Before the bouncy balls of Spirit and Opportunity? Were they bouncy balls, or were they just like...
No, these were balloons that were in the atmosphere.
Okay, not the bouncy balls. Okay,
no,
they were just like balloons.
This was before the helicopter.
Okay, they were just like, let's put some balloons in.
Yeah.
Wait, do you know how long the balloons lasted?
He's about to get into it. Ah, I thought he was.
I didn't know.
I mean, I can't imagine they would last long with the pressure and temperature.
The U.S. U.S. is not done, though.
Oh, no, we're never done. Have you met us?
1990 to 1994, the Magellan spacecraft.
Ooh, radar imaging!
Yeah, so the Magellan spacecraft, this mission was to map the surface and measure the gravitational field.
Oh, my God.
It was a mission of first. It was the first spacecraft launched from the space shuttle.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yes, it was also the first to use the inertial upper stage booster, which is a two-stage solid fuel launch system developed by Boeing.
Oh, remember when Boeing cared more about profits?
Didn't care about profits. Yeah, so I mean, it's a whole thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, we watched the John Oliver on Boeing.
Anyway,
you should.
Magellan was the first also to test aerobraking as a means to circularize.
God, I love aerobraking so much.
Ah. Okay, now Magellan was the first to get radar imaging, right?
That was his whole mission.
I also feel Mike wants to talk about aerobraking because it's really fucking cool.
All right.
You talk about aerobraking and then I'm going to get excited about radar imaging. Okay. Go.
All right, so you have a spacecraft. Has to leave the Earth to go where the fuck it's going.
Yes. step one, leave the Earth.
Yes. Which means you gotta build up a lot of speed.
Yes. Escape velocity.
Coming in hot.
You're going out hot, but when you get to Venus in this particular case, you're coming in hot.
Yeah.
You gotta slow down.
Right.
So how do you do that? Well, there's you can take propellant with you. And use that to burn rocket fuel. In the opposite direction that you're going. It'll slow you down. You do it for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. It's usually multiple burns, probably not just
lots
one
of
burn.
Math involved.
But it will put you in a circular orbit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or what you could do is utilize the planet itself. Venus is a very thick atmosphere.
Is this like Fast and the Furious?
You come in. You come in at a certain angle, and you hit the atmosphere. Uh-huh. Has to be a certain angle.
Uh huh. And then you slide around.
Well, what it does is the atmosphere it slows you down. Uh-huh. A friction. Uh-huh. As you're going through the atmosphere, you're hitting all the atmospheric uh-huh. particles, right? Uh-huh. It slows you down. It causes friction. Slows you down. You lose speed. And you end up in a circular, in a circular orbit.
You're drifting around.
Now, long time listeners of the show will know in the first few episodes, Mike and I would constantly reference Red Mars to the point where Liz would make a drink game out of it. And Mike and I are both rereading Red Mars.
Yes, we are.
So, when the Ares... the giant ship they use to get to Mars gets there, they slow down by aerogravity.
It's called doing your research as an author.
And it's within like 1,000th of a degree, so it has to be very precise. It's not like you get close enough and, we're going to use this to slow down. No. If you're too close, you will plummet to your death. If you're too far off again, you'll skip off of the atmosphere like they're afraid of Apollo 13.
Yes.
So it's a very precise operation.
Okay. Precisely. Magellan was the first to do it.
And Magellan also was the first to get radar images of the surface of Venus. So using radar, so like think of sonar, you know, where you have you're sending a signal down that bounces off the surface, and the amount of time it takes to get back, you can then see the elevations mm-hmm. and everything of the surface. So when you see pictures of Venus and you see them and they're like kind of like a yellow, orangey color, and you're seeing all these features, those are the radar images of mm-hmm. Venus's surface.
And they're also false color.
They're a false color. They're not obviously the actual color that we would see with our eyes. Whereas there are pictures of Venus that just show the atmosphere and the cloud tops and everything like that. But when you're seeing, you can see the pancake structures, and you can see these kind of like lava flow lines and everything that's on the surface. The smiley face on Venus, that is from radar imaging. So using radar to see what pierce the clouds. So look through the clouds, because otherwise we cannot see through the clouds the atmosphere of Venus. We cannot visually with our eyeballs see the surface of Venus. We need special technology in order to see what the surface actually looks like. And so far we do not have the technology, or haven't developed the technology, or haven't used the technology to have a spacecraft that is able to withstand the high temperatures and pressures that are on the surface of Venus. So this is our method of being able to study the surface, is by using radar technology. And these pictures of Venus through radar imaging is, to me, like my favorite thing about looking at Venus. Oh. They're fantastic to be able to see these features that we normally wouldn't be able to see.
Right, right.
Yes.
At large global features.
Hi.
And that's where we're seeing globally not a lot of craters. This must be a young
surface.
Yeah,
and we can see the resurfacing. We can see these like lava flows. In fact, I think it was recently that it was like, oh, there's been recent lava flows, which indicates that Venus somewhat has still an active core.
I feel like that's last 3 years. It was probably the last 6 years. But I remember hearing about
recent. It's very recent that we're like, oh, Venus still has some volcanic
activity.
Anything
within like 6 million years, that's super recent.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just Magellan really kind of changed like how we...
Is Venus the closest planet to us?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Well, depending on where we are in our orbits.
Yes. When it is at its closest, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. 30 million miles, whatever. Right. But Mercury actually spends more time closer to us than Venus does.
Really?
Because it zips around real fast, so we're closer to it more often, I assume.
And so Venus is...
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right.
Unless you technically want to count the moon as a planet, which some do, but, you know.
No, the moon's not a planet. It's a satellite, because it's not orbiting the sun directly. It's orbiting the Earth, which is orbiting the sun directly. Right, so therefore, the moon is a satellite.
I just really wanted to see that reaction.
There have been other flybys of Venus. Galileo on its way to Jupiter in 1990.
Oh, I didn't know he could get out there.
What?
Nothing. That was
Cassini, on its way to Saturn in 1998 and 1999, flew past Venus. Messenger spacecraft in 2006 and 2007 on its way to Mercury.
Yeah. Flew past, Mercury, I think, is the most underrated planet in the solar system.
I disagree, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Okay.
All right. Icarus, which is a solar sail mission, flew past Venus in 2010.
Importantly to note, not the spacecraft that was sent in the movie Sunshine to restart the sun after it ran out of fuel. Different Icarus.
Yeah, because that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but great 3/4 of a movie. Fantastic score.
All right, so European Space Agency got involved in 2006 with the Venus Express.
Hell yeah, choo-choo, motherfuckers.
I like that, just a Venus Express. Like,
I'm sure it stands for something.
This is a mission that was sent to try to learn in why Venus and Earth diverged in their evolution.
Oh, it's like you and Katie in your teenage years. They're so similar, but why do they diverge?
Right, but then they came back at the end.
Then we did come back.
If you look at Venus, Venus is about the size of the Earth, also has about the same mass as the Earth. In its early days, most likely had oceans.
It could have, yeah. It could have been very similar to the Earth in its early days, and then rampant volcanism fucked it up.
Yes, rampant volcanism, also the sun... the sun got a little bit... Okay.
Vulcan, yes.
The sun got a little bit hotter, and so does more energy. The volcanism...
I mean, even though Venus is only, 20, whatever we said before, 20-odd million miles closer to the sun than we are, even though it's a small distance in universe scale, I mean, it's a pretty good distance in temperature difference between the sun.
But not really also. It should not be anywhere near as hot as it is. It's definitely going to be warmer than the Earth.
Right.
It's not going to be obviously as hot as Mercury. Because it's three times that distance.
Right. It's just that buildup of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
So, I mean, if you look at it, all right, Venus is twice the distance from Mercury is from the sun. It receives 1/4 the sunlight that Mercury receives. If Venus had no atmosphere and Mercury is 800 degrees, that means that Venus would be about 200 degrees or so.
Like the moon?
Roughly, yes.
Okay.
A little warmer than the moon. But that's just rough friggin' ballpark right there. but it's much hotter than that. And so...
Right, because of the atmosphere.
How did it get so hot? So the volcanism, which you've already alluded to, the volcanoes just popping off all over the place, filling the atmosphere with carbon dioxide, make any oceans that were there just evaporate.
Yeah, which then a runaway greenhouse effect is what happens. It's a runaway greenhouse.
The water vapor is also a greenhouse gas, but it starts to leach out into space, and you're left with nothing but carbon dioxide, a little bit of nitrogen, and smattering everything else.
Whereas Mars went through a runaway refrigerator effect because of such thin atmosphere, it couldn't hold that heat in.
Right.
I just think a brave little toaster with all these runaway refrigerators.
The brave little toaster. Oh, God.
So the Venus Express, it was to try to find out why.
Why this shit happened. What the fuck went on?
But also it had another mission.
Was it Keep It Secret?
At home. What?
No, come on.
This other mission was to look back at Earth.
Oh.
So
from Venus?
Yes. When it would look at Earth, the Earth would be about 1 pixel in size, which is about how big an exoplanet might be when you take a picture of it.
Oh.
So its job was to look at Earth and look for signs of life and you could use that to develop methods to find habitability for exoplanets.
Oh.
And importantly, they did not look for signs for intelligent life because they would find none.
Exactly. So it gave us an unprecedented study of the atmosphere. Its mission, end of mission was in 2014, deorbited in January 2015. So it burned up.
It burned up in the Venusian atmosphere.
Yes. The only current mission at Venus right now is the Akatsuki mission.
Akatsuki. It's actually, Akatsuki is from the, well, I don't know the meaning, but in the anime Naruto, Akatsuki is in there. So okay.
You know what? You know what? I'll drink to that.
Okay.
All right. So it's Japanese. It's a mission to study the atmosphere. It got there on December 7th, 2015, which is a date in history. It's kind of a small little probe. It's only 5 feet by 3.5 feet by 5 feet.
It's about your height.
No, you're 4'5".
I am 5'3½", sir, and a half, sir. That was a coffee fit.
We'll count that.
Honestly, after a coffee fit, you should take a drink.
I'm officially out of drink, so I'm going to stab my cherry with my cinnamon stick and make a little...
So it's the only one that's there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to save Venus and Sci-Fi for the hangover.
I just wrote that down in my notes.
Okay.
For the hangover.
I want to know what a Polish donut is, apparently, from Elizabeth.
We can find that out in the hangover as well. So where can you find Venus right now for tonight? Probably tonight only. It's in Capricorn.
Nothing to do with your life.
By the time you hear this, it will have moved out. But right now it's in Capricorn. It's very low, very low in the southeastern part of the sky. Mm-hmm. So you basically need to be in Iowa to be able to see it where you have
the horizon. Or you don't have anything on your horizon.
Yeah.
This is a flat.
Yeah, and Earth. This is, it's low on the southeastern horizon, so that means right before the sun rises.
So get up early, folks. If you got a clear horizon, just see Venus. But... it, you know, throughout the year, you know, if you notice something that is lower on the horizon before sunrise or after sunset, then there's a good chance that is Venus that you are looking at.
All right. Well, we're going to save Venus in literature for later.
Sci-fi for
the hangover.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. Just the human imagination to anything in space is always exciting. But Venus, of course, being Earth's twin and closest to the sun.
There's a definite change in Venus and sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's related
to what we learned about Venus.
We'll get to it. So, thanks for joining us. Join us in 2 weeks, the 24th of March, where we have High in the Sky for April. Oh, yeah.
We will be on location in Bend, Oregon.
Oh, nice. Okay.
For that episode. Oh, yeah. We're going to...
I guess we're committed now.
I guess we're committed. So we need to remember to bring our podcast
We're going
shit.
On a road. We're going on a road. So, join us in. Remember to follow us on all the things. If you're with us now, please stick around.
Stay with us, please.
For the payment issues,
stay with us.
It sounds like we're just begging, which we kind of are.
Please, please stay with us. I have no one else.
Sir, can I have another viewer?
Oh, right. Nicely done.
Cheers, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.